Hello and welcome back to the Attribution Marketing Podcast powered by LeadsRx. On today's episode, we have Jason Fizico, founder and CEO of FizzyMedia.com. Jason has over a decade of digital marketing experience, both personally and through his agency, and he's produced over $100 million for his clients as a marketer, doing everything from managing ads, building landing pages, websites, the whole nine yards. A very performance marketing driven individual. So Jason, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm actually doing great today. Yeah, I'm just having some allergies, but I think I'll be okay.
All right, perfect. So here's a softball one to start. Just tell us about your background. How do you even get into this position? What's that career arc?
Yeah, for sure. Early on, I knew I wanted to get into marketing to some aspect, because before I got into marketing, my brother was a fashion blogger, and he was making a game out of marketing himself so that he could get sponsors and sell all sorts of things. He taught me how to do it for him so that he could focus more on his content and things like that. And then I eventually started helping influencers with their overall branding and things like that. And I made a good business out of that. I had 4 people on staff. We were growing people's followings, things like that. And then, of course, when around like 20, the business essentially, it didn't go so well anymore, because Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, they all changed their algorithms. But something that I was doing on the side was I was learning how to run Facebook ads and Google ads for different companies. So at that point, I made the switch and said, you know what, I'm going to just focus on the Facebook and Google ads. That could probably pay really well. Fast forward to a couple of years later, I was still freelancing, taking different jobs at different agencies. But for the most part, most of my income was from freelancing, and I was doing really well with it. Typically, when companies hire a freelancer, they don't know everything that goes into the online marketing. They just expect you to figure it out and get them results. From all that, I was behind the scenes literally doing it all by myself for a little bit. I was building landing pages, managing large ad spends. And when I say large, I'm talking about like anywhere from 50 to 500K a month for a single client. I was building out the backend automations, the email automations, SMS automations, and then just everything in between, building out dashboards, all that. And so now I have a team behind me, and that's what Fizzy is today. I built a team from people that I handpicked from past jobs or past networking events, things like that, just people that I knew from my industry. And here we are today. So I hope that was a not too long-winded of an answer.
No, that sounds good. Why don't you just tell us, I think you obviously have some expertise in a specific area, just like a full funnel digital marketing ninja, if you will, that's connected all different types of campaigns and measured conversions at each step. Why don't you just maybe catch us up from your perspective on the digital marketing landscape today? What's working now in paid media? What are the strategies you guys are using these days? And what's the tips and tricks you could share with everybody that's currently spending money on Meta and Google?
Yeah, for sure. Like, of course, when a company has a large budget, it's always good to diversify. But one of the most important parts of a marketing portfolio, in my opinion, is the online advertising, more specifically Google and Facebook ads. So I know a lot of people right now in this space are talking about, oh, there's cold DM outreach. There's also cold emails and all these other different facilities where you can really automate it and really get a lot of leads and volume that are of good quality. And then there's also that talk of the traditional, where there's billboards, there's TV, there's radio. These are all great outlets. But the reason I say Facebook and Google are at the top of my list is because of how highly targeted it is, right? Facebook and Google, they have the data on millions of different companies to already know, you know, they already have the targeting sets, right? So you can get as granular as targeting someone who is, say, in venture capital, and they are living within a certain area that is considered an affluent area, And then with your messaging, you can get even more targeted with that to really weed out the people you don't want to see. And just ultimately, you're like the lead quality that you're going to get from Facebook Google Ads. I've never seen any other platform just get any better than that.
So let me pause you real fast. Okay. So be a little more granular there in terms of how are you structuring those campaigns? Because a lot of folks will use Facebook ads for remarketing and e-commerce purposes and to raise awareness about an offer. But if you're talking about reaching VCs who live in certain zip codes, I think that would be an interesting angle to explore. So let us know that campaign structure. How are you really breaking that down and being that specific with the messaging and the campaign settings?
For sure. Yeah. So for context, my target audience is businesses who are doing anywhere from 5 million or more a year. And then for my clients, their target audience is also that same target audience. So all day long, we're targeting people in that demographic, right? And so it's for a wide range of things. So how we set this up. So for Facebook, we'll run a range of graphics and videos, and we'll actually help our clients with those, by the way. The graphics we can do completely in-house. The videos, we'll write out some scripts so that all they have to do is read off the script. And then we have like editors that can really make these engaging videos, right? So that's the front end. And then on top of that, what has seemed to work across all different industries is a long form copy. What a lot of people do is they build out these beautiful ads, but then they neglect the copy. And actually the biggest part of our payroll is copywriters for that exact reason. Because when you're speaking the exact language of your target audience, you can get them to click, you can get them to opt in, you can get them to jump on a call, and it converts really easy, right? So we put a lot of emphasis there. Now in the actual campaign structure, how we'll do it, if we want to get technical, it's one interest per ad set. And each of these interests will still allow for the audience expansion. That way Facebook can still find other people who are in a similar audience. And then from there, each ad set will probably only put one or two creative assets. That way we're not spreading ourselves too thin there. And so, for example, one of the most common interests that are used across multiple clients in the service-based industry is when we're targeting venture capital, private equity, and then another really popular interest that really works for us is targeting, it's called a small and medium enterprises, but you essentially get an audience of people who are actively investing or acquiring businesses that are of smaller, medium size. And so that's the initial structure, right? So we're targeting those people in volume. Then we send that traffic to a landing page that we've built ourselves. And then again, that's where copywriters come in again. It's very heavy copy that is researched based on the target audience. And so when you combine these engaging ads with heavy copy, we're targeting people who are in venture capital, private equity, things like that. And then we send them to a landing page that, again, is very long form and speaks to that. We can get them to do whatever we want in terms of getting them to opt in, book a call, whatever it is. And that structure really works for us. On Google Ads, the structure is a little bit different, but the concept is the same. So for a Google search, we'll only do phrase and exact match keywords. And we're essentially going to hit on things like, say, for example, we have some advertising clients. When people are looking for ad agencies, what are they searching? They're searching for things like media buying. They're searching for things like lead gen, oftentimes funnels. So we'll put those keywords up front. And then how do the campaign structure is just one campaign, literally just one or two ad groups with the search ad. And then from there, you can scale really fast. It's really simple structure. And then we send them to a landing page where all the work is on the copywriter. Now, when you build out your advertising campaigns that way, you don't have to do a lot of effort on the front end because the copy sells itself. I've actually seen this before, the concept in my industry, it's called zombie funnels. These are landing pages that are built out for digital marketing campaigns that are just so ugly that you would be surprised. Wow, they're actually selling anything from these landing pages. But these zombie funnels, the reason they work so well is because the messaging is that good. And you've probably seen landing pages or websites that are so ugly, yet they have eight-figure clients and they're just getting like dozens of clients every month. And so that's the whole idea. You have great copywriting, you can do anything. You can be powerful. And then when you just couple that with great targeting, it's game over, you know? So.
Well said, and appreciate the detail there. So talk us through maybe some of your clients that do both Google and Meta at the same time. How do you attribute conversions across those two sources in an accurate way? Because they both are going to take credit for that conversion and try to get you to spend more on their particular platform. So how do you net that out and know which ads and channels to increase or decrease based on their performance, knowing that both your ad partners here, Google and Meta, are taking credit for the same conversions?
For sure, yeah. We have client AMZ Iconic. So they sell an Amazon automation service. What that means is Amazon Wholesale, they'll create the account for you, build the store for you, source all the products for you, do all the marketing and scale it. And they have a guarantee that if you don't break even on your investment within 2 years, they're going to give you that money back. Plus profit. And on average, their customers are doing 50 to 100,000 a year. And so it's a really good service. Now, this service costs anywhere from $60,000 to $120,000. Now, when we first began campaigns, we started on just Facebook, right? We were going for a high volume of calls. So again, we targeted, you know, venture capital, private equity guys on Facebook. We had long form copy to tell them, hey, this is a great way to diversify your portfolio. We sent them to a simple landing page. And then the whole objective was to get them to book a call. Five landing page variants later, we had enough data from the sales team to see that the people who were really the best candidates for this high-end product is family-oriented businesses. So it could be a mother and a daughter, a father and a son, or three brothers, right? The commonality was that most of our most high quality candidates were families. And so we changed up the whole landing page, the ads, to reflect that. We were saying, hey, this is a family opportunity, build wealth as a family, things like that. And then conversion rates went sky high. But the issue still was that we were finding that, and we even found out from our competitors too, that in that industry specifically, Amazon and automation, there were just a lot of no-shows. A lot of people just don't show up to the calls. We don't know what it is. So what we did to really improve the quality is we set up the pixel so that it will only optimize for good leads, not bad leads. And so more specifically, we put up this survey up front. We said, hey, you got to have 60K cash or we're not even going to talk to you. So people who have 60K cash virtually don't need to finance anything. They can go in cash and then start right away. So we said, hey, upfront, 60K cash, you need that. And then you have to fill out this survey just to tell us a little bit more about your situation. Of course, most people will look at that and then exit the page. But then the people who do have that kind of money, they will complete the information and then go to book a call page, right? Now, we still had parameters where if they said, oh, I have 60K cash, but then they answer all the other things unfavorably, oh, they don't have a lot of income, or they don't have like good credit or anything like that, they'll still go to a different landing page. So good leads go to a book a call page, bad leads go to a different thank you page. And then we set up the pixel to only track and optimize for people who were going to the book a call page, because those were our best leads possible. And so once we figured that out, and then we set this campaign up on Google as well, it was game over. At the like 2 months after doing that, we got it down to where a lead with $60,000 to $500,000 in cash that can go without any financing was costing us as low as $166. And then about 40% of those leads actually turned into a live call. And it's like, when you really consider the fact that anyone who has a good enough budget would happily pay all day for $166 for a lead that doesn't need financing and can afford it. After that, it's just a matter of getting on the call and do they like us or do they not? So it was really crazy.
Nice. That sounds like a success and a good breakdown of how you would test and run a test to see what messaging and strategies convert at the highest rate for the most efficient price point. I think the question I was trying to dig deeper into is, if you're running a Google campaign for the entire month of March and you're running a Facebook campaign for the entire month of March and they're overlapping and a prospect clicks your Facebook ad, doesn't convert, 3 days later clicks your Google ad, doesn't convert, then clicks Facebook again, and then a week after that shows up and does convert, both Facebook and Google will say that they brought you that customer. And so when you say that your cost per acquisition is a particular price point, how are you attributing the cost per acquisition across those conversion paths if both of your ad networks are taking credit for the same conversion?
Yeah, for sure. A clean way that we do attribution is Facebook campaigns have a separate sales funnel. And then Google campaigns have a separate sales funnel. And then for some clients, when we run Microsoft ads, that also has a separate sales funnel. And then because they have different sales funnels, they also have separate automations. And with UTM trackers, we're able to pull up in our dashboard in an automated fashion what the first and last click attribution was. And then it's a pretty clear cut division because we have different sales funnels and different automations, because we can see, oh, was it a Google opt-in form that got them there? Was it a Google email automation? What was the first thing that got them into the funnel? And what was the last thing that got them in there? And so that separation really helps in the back end. There's, of course, you'll have some times where, hey, like it was Facebook who got them in first, but then Google was the one that actually got them to book a call. And the beauty of the UTM parameters and having separate funnels is we can see that very clearly in the back end.
So I guess follow up to that would be, given that same example that you're breaking down for us, which funnel or which network do you feel had a better overall efficiency or cost per lead or quality at the end of the day?
So at the end of the day, Google Ads, and when I say Google Ads, that could mean search, display, YouTube. Google Ads have the better quality, but it is not always the best solution. And it's a case-by-case basis, which is why it's always good to be adaptable, to be able to play with both and to see how each works specifically to you. For example, the trend with agency clients is that Google Search is by far the best platform for them, right? And then for Amazon automation, yeah, it's the same thing. Google Search is the best platform. Now, if you're selling like a coaching program, for example, it could be a tie between YouTube and Facebook, but typically Facebook wins. There isn't exactly a clear science as to why, in some cases, a different platform will win. But for the sake of an agency, for example, the clear reason why Google Search works better is because clear difference between Facebook and Google is Facebook, you're going out to them and then hoping that the people that you are reaching actually need your service. Whereas Google, they're actively searching for it. And when it comes to Google searches, when people are looking for some sort of like agency or done for you service, they're typically searching very specific things. And so it's very easy to target those people. Now, when it's like coaching, for example, not everybody knows that they need a coach. And that's why Facebook advertising or YouTube can work really well, because you're reaching out to people in volume and hitting on their pain points and just hoping that even just a small percentage of them will actually convert. And that again becomes a game of how good is your copy? Because even for YouTube ads where there's not that much copy, a copywriter is still going to build that video script. And so that comes down to how good is your copy, how good is your messaging, and how well can your team research the pain points of the target audience? If they can do that, it's game over. So that it really depends.
Jason, thank you very much for breaking that down for us and using that specific example. If you would, just tell folks, how can they get a hold of you, follow you on social media, or get a hold of Fizzy?
Yeah, for sure. So if you guys would like to learn more and get a hold of my team, you can go to fizzymedia.com. That is FIZImedia.com.
All right, Jason, thanks again. Folks, you heard it here first. This is the Attribution Marketing Podcast, signing off.